ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Friday edition of The Drive. A nice day. It's a little warmer.
Yeah.
It is definitely a little bit warmer today than it has been. Got out and started cleaning. All right, look, I'd already had a couple people come in. We've had some trees taken out. Our natural area wanted to sort of clear things out there. And then had a fella help come in and trim back some of our really big azaleas, things like since they've all finished blooming. But then after that got done, I looked and it's like, oh, there's more that really needs to be cleaned out as well. So got out today. Actually,
what are you talking? Weeds? You talking?
I'm talking brush. Ugh. and like I had a camellia that was probably 15 feet tall that needed to get down to about 8 feet. Just clearing a lot of underbrush and things like that. I mean, I look like I've been thrown in a tiger cage or something with the scratches and things
not,
I've got.
It's not, I just assumed it was dusty. It's not this time.
Not this stuff.
It's not stuff that you don't want in the yard. It's just stuff that maybe needs to be trimmed
up. It is some stuff that we don't want in the yard. And look, I mean,
what do you not want that needs to go?
Well, I mean, there were just some scrub trees and
leaves
and bushes and limbs and just things that were out in the natural area. And now that we got little grandkids that like to run around, you know, you want to sort of have that neater and everything for them. But man, I'm telling you, it was more than a chore today. It's funny now. I usually do the outside. Now Kathy does the planting. I mean, in pots. I mean, if there are things that need to be planted in the ground, I'll do that, and then I'll do whatever else I can. But it was funny. I mean, we came in about 1:30. We got out around 9, came in around 1:30, and she said, I'm taking next week off. And I said, you're retired. She goes, that's right. I'm taking next week off.
From the housework.
She goes, this is killing me. Yeah. So
she's coming in to host the show. Is that what you're saying? And you're gonna...
she said, well, she's glad to go to the ball game tonight because she knows that she won't have to do anything but sit there. So we're looking forward to that. But
maybe have a hot dog if she's feeling adventurous. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you guys enjoy any of the ballpark snacks?
I love the Konecka dogs.
I was going to say, I know a lot of folks are Konecka dogs.
The Konecka dogs are outstanding. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, they've got pretty good selection of food at
Coach,
the ballpark.
I'm saving up for baby back ribs.
Okay,
baby back rib day tomorrow.
All right.
That was an off-air conversation we've had
last week,
and it's great to have Coach Don Dunn.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In the house with us.
I told John I haven't seen Don in a couple of weeks.
That's right.
Going to miss him again next week because he's headed back to Louisville for the Derby.
That's right. We'll talk a little bit more. We'll talk a little bit more about the ponies. Next week. It's an abridged episode of The Drive.
Indeed, because the NFL draft, which got underway last night, and Keldrick Faulk going 31 to the Tennessee Titans.
Great.
But with round one last night, round two, the coverage will start at 5 o'clock today on ESPN Radio. So we're here for the first hour. We're here for 1 hour today.
Yeah, we're doing an hour, and then we're kicking over to ESPN Radio coverage of the NFL draft, which you can catch right here on ESPN 106.7. Wings 94.3 will have the baseball action this weekend, and it's a big series, Bill.
Yes, indeed. 5:45, pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch tonight. Scheduled for 6-6-2. Still haven't seen anything as far as change. I see all across the South, there are quite a few series that are being adjusted because of the threat of weather upsetting the regular schedule. But Auburn, at least as of a few minutes ago, as of a half an hour ago, had not seen anything as far as changing the plans for the games this weekend, because it looks like the percentage of rain has gone down over the last few days. There's still a chance of thunderstorms tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow could be tricky to try to get in nine innings. I wonder if is starting earlier an option tomorrow?
Yes.
Okay, could they decide tonight that they're going to start? Because
I know that
much of the rain is projected afternoon, evening.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing was around 6:30 or something. I mean, you know, but between 5 and 7, the rain's starting to come. So, yeah, if they could play earlier tomorrow, I wouldn't be surprised if they make that announcement, sometime around game time or a little before the start of game one tonight.
Both of these teams want to get three games in.
Oh, absolutely.
This weekend, though.
Absolutely. When you've got a five-way tie for fourth right now at 10-8 in the league. I mean, it's very important. Everybody jockeying for position, not just for the SEC tournament, but for NCAA regional hosting bids.
I'd say Auburn and Oklahoma, two teams that still have an outside shot at the SEC regular season title, but they'd need some things to break their way, but they could do it. They could jump into first place potentially.
Well, I mean, Auburn has the opportunity because they've got Georgia, who is the first place team, and Auburn three games back of Georgia, and Georgia comes in for the final series of the season.
But even pushing the SEC regular season title to the side for a second, Auburn and Oklahoma, two teams that are, like, if the season ended today, I imagine they'd both be in the top eight. Maybe. I mean, Oklahoma would definitely be in the top 16. Yeah. Oklahoma might have work to do to jump into the top eight.
They'd both be regional hosts, but I think Oklahoma has a little more work because of Auburn's strength of schedule.
But I think both of these teams have a shot of being super regional hosts. I mean, it's the level of baseball you're going to see this weekend at Plainsman Park. I mean, you're talking about two teams that could be to explain the way seeding works in college baseball, if you're hosting super regional, you're expected to go to the College World Series. Like, those are the top eight teams.
Right.
And
that's
so,
right.
I mean, it wouldn't be shocking at all if two of the top eight teams in super regional play were, in fact, the two teams you're seeing this weekend.
No, it wouldn't be a shock. Although, the loser of the series this weekend
has some work to do.
Yeah, especially if Auburn wins, especially Oklahoma would have even more work to do.
Well, if Oklahoma wins the series, it's Auburn's.
Yeah, Auburn would have work to do. I mean, but I'm saying Auburn's strength of schedule is top five nationally. So, I mean, you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose a series at home, and you'd feel like you'd need to sort of make that up on the road. And Auburn still has to go to Texas A&M and Mississippi State, and a couple of other teams who are also top 10 or 15 teams on the road before Georgia comes in.
Auburn sticking with the rotation from last week's victorious series in Gainesville, including Alvarez tonight.
Yeah, Andres Alvarez will get the start tonight. Struggled last time out. That was by far his worst start of the season. Yeah. Butch Thompson saying yesterday they're hoping that's just a bump in the road for Dre. I mean, it is a great it's a great comfort to have somebody like a Jackson Sanders in the bullpen in case. But you'd hate to have to go to Jackson tonight. And then you would really need Jake and Petro to get you deep on tomorrow and Sunday.
And with the way Alvarez was pitching earlier in the season, you don't want to be asking the questions you'd have to ask if you had back-to-back rough starts on Friday night from Alvarez, a guy who looked like, and still I think, I mean, I won't be shocked at all if he pitches great tonight.
No, not at all.
That's what kind of pitcher he is. Looked like a guy you'd be able to count on in high stakes baseball, and you hope that's still. I mean, I think for all the pitchers.
I would say one thing about Dre, that was his first road start.
Oh yeah,
on Friday night in Gainesville, so you would think he's going to be much more comfortable tonight.
Exactly, which is why if that doesn't happen tonight, it's like okay, well you got to maybe start talking about
About Jackson moving back into the rotation. Griffin Graves work his way into the weekend?
Yeah, because you do have you also have options. You know what I mean, as far as who could start on the weekend. But I think that Plan A. Not just because it's plan double A, I guess, right? Is that
Alvarez. Yeah,
that's Plan A right there. Is that he gives you a quality start and looks like a Friday night ace tonight, and then you can move on with a 1-0 lead in the series.
Yeah, hopefully that is the case. Should be perfect weather for baseball. Going to be a little warm, but looking for a big crowd. And saw a little earlier, Auburn's added some extra seats there in the outfield for students. Some extra area, if you will. I don't know if it's seating. It's usually standing out there in right field.
And I know from my sources that there's a lot going on with the Auburn students this weekend. It's the last real weekend before finals get going. I know a lot of the Greek organizations plan for this weekend to have one of their big blowout events. But, yeah, if you can make it to baseball this weekend, go check it out, because not only do you have a really good team, but you've got a pretty important series this weekend against Oklahoma with two teams that could go pretty deep in the dance.
Yeah.
So it's home. Is it senior weekend for softball too? Right there. I know they're
right.
It is.
It's their last home series.
Yeah. Wow.
So would love to see them pick up some momentum at the end of year two for the Malvos. Bill, you mentioned Keldrick.
Right.
Keldrick goes 31st overall to the Tennessee Titans in last night's NFL draft, round one. Titans trade back into the first round with the Bills to pick Keldrick. So he gets to stay pretty close to Highland.
Yeah, how about that?
That's right, great.
I think probably maybe Atlanta is the only other, like, if you're driving from Highland Home to go see an NFL stadium, like New Orleans is in the ballpark probably, but like,
it's
one of the closer places he could have landed. And so, optimistic to see what the future holds for Keldrick on that rebuilding Tennessee team. Is Ty Simpson at 13 the big surprise?
Yeah, there were a few surprises, but that was, I think, the first big surprise.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot. I mean, there'd been a lot of talk. Is he even going to be drafted in the first round? Was this the right decision for him to go at 13? Absolutely.
Well, some folks, I guess before we get Ty Simpson, like, some folks are a little surprised about Jeremiah Love at 3, running back for Notre Dame. Excellent running.
What was all the? I mean, when I heard some of the talk beforehand, it was like, man, it's going to be just a defensive draft. Look, and it's like mostly offensive guys taken last.
It was the three of the first four were offensive players in a draft
was it like 19 offensive players out of the 32? I think.
And Mendoza wasn't a surprise.
No, not at all.
I think that folks thought that even though the Jets and the Cardinals and the Titans had some pretty pressing offensive problems because of the quality of players like David Bailey and Arvell Reese and Sonny Styles and Caleb Downs, those are just the Ohio State guys. Like, because the quality of some of those players, like, you might see them go really early, even to teams that need offense. But no, the Cardinals, I think it's a little bit of a surprise that a team with so many needs you have to feel like you're getting a Hall of Famer. In today's NFL, if you've got needs all over your roster and you're picking third in the NFL draft and you go running back, that guy's got to project like...
Yeah, you're right. You're right there.
I mean, he's got to project like... He's got to have a gold jacket one day. Like, that's the kind of play. And now I know people believe Jeremiah Love is that kind of running back. Like, if you're going to take someone like that, a Saquon Barkley type, then that would be the guy. But I just... I don't know. Maybe I'm too internet and stat poisoned to where it's like, I'd be so nervous about a running back at 3. Like, he just has to be so great to justify.
Yeah, because
that's the thing.
Because, I mean, running backs have become so devalued in the NFL because, most teams feel like they can find a serviceable guy. They can find somebody good out there, in the middle rounds
Yes. There seem like a couple of positions to me in today's NFL where it's like, if you're going to use a top 15 pick, considering the options available, starting left tackles, franchise quarterbacks, number one receivers. If you're going to use that pick on a running back, like, you have to be – and there are a couple other positions. I know people feel that way about tight end. I know people feel that way about safety, where it's like, if you're going to use a pick that early in the draft on a guy like that, like, he'd better just be
– stud.
He'd better be a superstar because of the way that if you land a superstar at another position, what that can be – as a defensive end or an offensive tackle or a receiver or a quarterback.
It's right.
And that's I think Jeremiah Love at 3 is a slight surprise.
Yeah.
But when's the
last time a running back's gone that high?
I think Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
I think you got to go back.
Yeah.
I think you got to go back a while. The Raiders took the Boise State guy last year, Janty, the one who stood like the Undertaker in the backfield.
Yeah.
And he had a pretty good rookie year. Like, it's not a disaster. I know Bijan went early. to Atlanta. But,
not three.
Three's Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown territory, coach. You know, you got to get that's rarefied air for a running back. Okay, now Ty Simpson. We mentioned it yesterday. Like, it seemed like if it's going to happen in the first round, I think I even said the Rams, like a team that would make sense would need to have an older, entrenched guy that's probably playing his last season or his last two seasons. Matt Stafford fits that. And if McVay thinks he's one of those coaches where if he thinks that this is the guy, and I know the press conference,
a lot of comments about his reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I want to trust, because the Rams have bet right pretty frequently in the last few years with these guys. Like, I want to trust that they know what they're doing, they're getting the right guy, and it's going to work out. But yeah, that was bizarre. The lack of enthusiasm over first round pick at quarterback.
Yeah, and stating pretty emphatically, this is Matthew's team. Of course it is.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, I mean, there's video online where Ty Simpson is obviously very emotional about the fact that he's been drafted in the first round of the NFL, and he's now going to get to fulfill his dream to be an NFL quarterback. And he's talking to his new coach about it. And Sean McVay reminded me of, like, when Norm MacDonald used to play Burt Reynolds.
Yes.
And it was like, yeah, whatever. Like,
it was Saturday Night Live.
He was doing Norm MacDonald at Celebrity Jeopardy as Burt Reynolds. It was like, Coach, I can't wait to, we're gonna go to the top together, Coach. I can't wait. Yeah, whatever. Like, that was McVay's, like, response.
He didn't seem.
Yeah, well,
it was the first round of the NFL draft, and he's got a lot going on, and probably needs to pass the phone to somebody. But it's a bizarre start.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. Yeah,
it was kind of a strange night.
A lot of comments about
he was mad.
Auburn grad Les Snead, of course, is the Rams GM.
Yeah,
and it's like a lot of people going, it was just Les. That this wasn't Sean McVay's guy.
And some folks, I mean, this debate has happened before. When you've got an aging quarterback and you have a first round pick, do you address the need to replace that quarterback someday, or do you try to maximize that quarterback's last couple of years?
That's what the feeling, I think, from a lot of people was, is find somebody who can try to help Matthew Stafford in his last year or so. Yeah. Get the best player to try to help him go out on top, as opposed to finding his replacement.
Yeah, I mean, a couple more receivers go in the first round, including Mekhi Lemon from USC, who a lot of folks had projected to the Rams. Mm-hmm. Not just the LA thing, but I think the style of play and the resemblance to Puka. Like, this is a, it was easy to go, but sure enough, I mean, and I wondered about Ty Simpson having only played 1 year. I think the fact that he gets an understudy year with the Rams, mm-hmm. presumably before taking over for Matt Stafford, that's going to be, Coach, it seems like that would be so much better for him than if a bad team had drafted him in the first round and thrown him out there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but.
Well, yeah. I think it's definitely better for Ty.
Yeah, I think he's in a good spot, even though it's crazy what the coach said or how he acted. But yeah, Stafford's what, you think, at least three more years?
I wouldn't go at least.
I'd say probably a couple.
I might go at most three more years. Yeah. Like, I would say one or two potentially. Especially, he's done a lot that a coach is, that a quarterback's going to do in the NFL. So
that's right.
Yeah. So that really interesting last night. We can talk about that again. We're just with you until 5 o'clock. So we'd love for you to join us. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. We need to get to our first break, and we'll be right back. Heading to the phones here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Hey, welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. And again, a shortened edition of the Drive today. We're on till 5, so we'd love to hear from you. And speaking of that, let's get to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Brian is up first. Hey, Brian.
Gentlemen, happy Friday.
Indeed.
Nice to talk to you. No, I was just sorry to interrupt the draft talk. I just wanted to throw some love to the men's golf.
Yeah, absolutely. Jackson wanted Coivin. To mention that. How about Jackson Coivin, the first SEC golfer in nearly 60 years to three-peat?
1967.
Wow. Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah, and I mean, they just unbelievable. I mean, 11 under on day one. What was it? 16 under day two, and then 12 under today.
Daggone.
Yeah, Jackson was six under, and then what was it? 7 under today.
Yeah, he is
19
he is
under
true.
For the for
phenomenal.
The tournament.
He really is.
You got to go back to the '60s. The last time the SEC had someone win.
That's the only other time.
Yeah, the only other time. That someone...
it's only the second time ever.
So yeah, I mean, congratulations. Yeah, no. I mean, congratulations. I mean, Jackson's someone who's going to be. He seems to have a very bright future ahead of him, and the fact that he's choosing to continue to pursue his degree and pursue college athletics is it's pretty special, and he is phenomenal.
Yeah, and if you guys didn't know, I'm sure you do, but the quarterfinals and semis will be tomorrow. Semis are on at noon on SEC Network Plus, and then the finals, if we make it, will be on Sunday at 7 a.m.
Yeah. I mean, a great opportunity for them. And then, of course, they're not done then either. So,
no. Anyways, guys, that's all I got. Have a great weekend.
Good hearing from you, Brian. 334-321-1390. Absolutely right. I mean,
glad he mentioned it.
Nick Kleiner, Kleiner's group, he said he wanted to dominate, and they did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is a tremendous team. Led by a tremendous player in Jackson Coivin, but he's not the only really good player on that squad. But he is the best amateur. Period.
Yeah, that was the stroke play championship, and then the match play quarterfinals start tomorrow, and Auburn will be the top seed in the quarterfinals for match play. Auburn broke an SEC championship record, 39 under par.
Yeah, you know how long that record had been in
one
place?
One year.
Yeah. You know who held that record?
Auburn. Yeah.
Auburn was 38 under last year, Don.
Unbelievable.
They went 39
under this
year. Yeah, I
remember
they
were good. My goodness, that's hard to do. Golf, come on.
Yeah, it is just a tremendous accomplishment once again by Auburn men's golf.
Yeah, Kleinert's got it rolling, and Jackson, not to short sell any of his other outstanding teammates, Jackson's going to be, he's going to be a phenomenal pro, and he's not done winning at Auburn, but he is also just, he is really something special.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar.
Anything in particular you want to see from Auburn's lineup over the next couple of days? I know that it seemed like against Florida, some guys found more of a rhythm.
Well, Mason McCrane,
especially
obviously.
Mason McCrane.
He really did. You know, and his brother Brandon has really hit it really well. He was one of the guys we talked to yesterday, and he said really after the Texas series, you know, he'd gotten an opportunity to play when Chris Rembert was hurt. He moved into second base and was hitting. Then they moved him over to short. Remember, Guevara had been playing a little bit of short. They moved Brandon to short and Eric back to third. And he's just he's become much more comfortable. But yeah, the McCrane brothers have really hit it well. What's been, I think, should be encouraging or something to really think of positively is, and we really haven't seen Chris Rembert get really hot yet at the plate. He's been good, but you haven't seen him just get white hot. Eric Guevara has really been swinging the bat well. And Chase Frelick's another guy that has done he's done okay, but really hasn't been quite as consistent. A couple of those guys who hit in the middle of the lineup can ratchet it up just a little bit. Then this team's going to be capable of winning any time they go out against these top 10 teams that they're going to be playing here over the next 3 weekends.
You want to try to get to Slack before we take the break?
Yeah, let's do that.
Love getting to hear from our good buddy. Slack, what's up, pal?
Hey, man. I know he went 31st, but do you think he could have improved his stock by coming back another year?
That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance of that. You know, in today's NFL, and for a guy who was you know, still seen as something of a developing talent. Some guys are ready to go get into that NFL system, though, and start mm-hmm. their development there. And I think that it's tough to, you know, even though he probably could have gone higher if he came back and had a healthy, productive year, it's still something of a gamble. And when a guy goes in the first round, it's tough to quibble too much. Don,
it's hard to say no when you go in the first round. Even though I agree with Slack, he could have improved his stock if he stayed healthier and continued to do what he's been doing. But that's a tough one. As a coach, you want him to come back. Please come back. But as a parent, as a player, you got to go the first round.
Yeah. Do you think he hurt himself by being a hybrid guy?
Probably not. I think he might have helped himself because he can play on the edge. If he can get bigger, and he'll get bigger and stronger, he'll continue to mature. I don't know if he'll ever be like a nose guard or a three technique, but he can play some different spots. Yes, sir.
I think one of the appealing things about Keldrick was the idea that if you run a 4-3 or a 3-4, you can still find room for him somewhere, depending on what he does.
Right.
You know, that versatility, you know, makes him like it is. You know, half the teams in the league don't have to cross him off the list because they play the wrong kind of defense for his style. And the fact that he's so good against the run. You know, so many of those defensive ends and you know, pass rushing types, it's about disrupting the quarterback. Keldrick can do some of that, but he holds his own against the run. And I think NFL teams, especially ones that need to get better, could see the value in shoring up their run defense.
You see him having a career kind of like Jay Ratliff.
Well, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Yes. I know Jay at least played, 7 or 8 years?
Exactly. Yes, appreciate it, guys.
Thank you.
Good news.
That's not a bad, Auburn's had a couple of defensive linemen who have gone on to lengthy careers. I mean, Derek's having an outstanding start. Yep. Derek Hall is having a couple Derek's. Derek Brown is off to a great start to his career in Carolina. Derek Hall is playing a lot in Seattle. So I got a Super Bowl ring this year as a matter of fact. But I'm optimistic Keldrick gets to play a lot.
Going to a good place too because they're going to have to play him because they need help.
I mean, it's a coach, you know better than anybody. Like, it's a war at the line of scrimmage in the NFL. But
it's tough.
I think Keldrick's he's had practice.
Yeah. You know,
the last 3 years.
Yeah, he's played against good people.
Going up against the offensive lineman he's faced off with in the SEC.
Yes.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, just a 1 hour show today, so we're halfway done. Still time for you to join in if you'd like here on the Friday Drive. And Coach Don Dunn here. As we were talking before the show, Don, I wasn't here last week. Gone to a concert. You're headed back for your yearly
trip to Louisville
for the Derby.
My hometown,
your old Kentucky home.
Yeah, I'll be singing that and have a couple of mint juleps. And even though they're tough, you got a really acquired taste for them. But yeah, I get to see my family, which don't have a lot left, but. And see old friends, and I will go out to
the
track.
Cucumber sandwiches, right?
You know, no. We'll go out to the track on Wednesday. We have a really nice area where we sit, a seated area, and it's all the price you pay includes all your buffet food, your drinks. It's undercover right by the paddock. You see the horses come in, get saddled. The jockeys walk right by you. Going into the paddock, and it's really neat, and it's not as crowded. It's crowded, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you can't. It's just too expensive and too high. But I will go out and tailgate. I park in a guy's yard. I've been doing it probably 35 years.
This is a cool story. Yeah,
and you can see the big screen. They have a big jumbo screen, about like Auburn's here, so I can see it, listen to it in the car radio. Bet on my phone. I've got the Twin Spires betting app on my phone. I'm not coaching anymore, so I can do that.
Yeah, okay.
So,
and he's only done that recently.
Just a couple days.
It's horse racing. It's all legal.
But anyway, it's a fun time, and been doing it for a long, long time. I don't go in Derby Day anymore. I'm getting too old for that, and it's just so crowded. The first year I ever went, Bill, it was $3 to get in the infield.
Oh, wow.
I think my first year was 1969, 1970. I was like a junior or sophomore in high school. I can't remember. But I've only missed about three because of coaching when I was out in California and Nevada. I didn't get to go for about like 3 years.
You know anything about this year's field of the Derby?
I always like to pick my wife. She's way ahead of me on this. I will bet the jockeys mostly.
Okay.
So that's why Don likes to go Tuesday, and the jockeys walk by, and he's the way one of them walks or carries himself.
Yeah, they're all little bitty guys.
I'm being told that if a sandwich is being served in the vicinity of the Kentucky Derby, it's a hot brown.
Yes, so hot brown.
Bill, you know about hot browns?
I do not.
Ooh.
The story is the Brown Hotel. It was a mistake years and years ago, and it's delicious. I'll have to get the recipe for you. My friend makes them, and Donna helps her. They used to have a derby party.
What is it?
Go ahead.
So officially, the definition would be it's an open-faced sandwich with turkey breast and bacon served in a creamy Mornay sauce and baked or broiled.
Yeah.
Until the bread on the bottom is crusty.
Yeah.
So what was the mistake? Was it not usually served
hot? It was something in the kitchen chefs were doing, and somebody came in and ordered or something late. I don't know. I don't want to say because I got to look it up, the real story. And they made this, and it's been famous ever since. All the derby parties serve it. And my friend, Karen, makes the best ones in the world.
I believe one legend is that they had too much turkey after
that might be
a holiday party.
It's something.
Like they didn't always.
They had to figure out what to do with it.
They had to think of a special.
It's like toss it in there in some sauce and let's see what we can come up with.
They had to get rid of the
open faced hot turkey sandwich.
They had to get rid of the turkey.
Sounds pretty good, actually.
That reminds me.
That was something that my mom used to make. Open-faced hot roast beef sandwiches and gravy all the time. It's like, I haven't had one of those in years.
Open-faced sandwich ain't bad.
Oh, man,
right?
No kidding.
A hot, well-cooked open-faced sandwich. But no, the Derby should be a good time next weekend.
Yeah, the Oaks, I'm disappointed. They've moved the Oaks, the Friday race with the females, back to, I want to say, almost 8 o'clock at night.
Wow.
NBC.
On Friday night before the Derby Saturday?
Yeah, wow. So you got to be a tough guy to go to both. But it's all about money, and it's really a shame. When I used to first go, it was about the fans, and now unless it's all corporate and, you know, the big tents and like everything else, I guess. But
it's part of NBC wanting to make the Derby more of a weekend event and not just a Saturday thing, clearly. I mean, the fact that you're going to talk – I mean, the idea that NBC is willing to give 8 p.m. Eastern on Friday, May 1st, so the night before the Derby
– right.
To the Kentucky Oaks, the 152nd Kentucky Oaks, the race of the Phillies, and I'm sure that if it goes well both with attendance and with the TV ratings, I'm sure that'll be a tradition NBC wants to kick around because it also allows them to promote the Derby all night long on Friday and turn it into more of a 2-day event. And I remember the last time I watched the Kentucky Derby. Like, how much of it is an advertisement for what else is on NBC and Peacock
the rest of the year? It's like Super Bowl.
It's the pre-race. It's like one of NBC's biggest events of the year, and they, you know, not just for sports, but for their fall lineup, right? Like, you'll see the cast of SVU there, you know, you'll see... you know, someone who's got a show, you know, the SNLers will be there. That a lot of NBC sports personnel. So yeah, it sounds like I've always wanted to go to one of the big three, and the Derby obviously would be the first one. Although I know some people who say that Pimlico is a blast.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yep. I've been to two. I've been to the Derby. I've been to the Preakness. I've not been to the Belmont, and I also want to go to Saratoga sometime up in upstate New York. For the August September race,
I heard. Oh man, who
the old
was
coach
it?
Used to hang out there, Bill Parcells.
I think Al Michaels said in an interview once that if you're only able to go to one of them, like obviously the Derby is the one you want to cross off your list,
right?
But the but the Preakness is the most fun.
Yeah, the infield of the Preakness is crazy.
Yeah, the Preakness in Baltimore.
And the Derby infield used to be wild, yeah. But now there's so many corporate tents and they've raised the price. I think last year it was over $100 just to get in the infield. That's no guarantee of anything but standing up.
Yeah.
I don't know if they moved the Preakness or it's
because of the renovation of the track. The Belmont was moved to Saratoga because they're redoing Belmont, the track. The one in Baltimore is really, really in need of repairs. When I went up there, I was lucky I got to go with Coach Tuberville through Under Armour because they sponsored the guy that he was from there, and he had a beautiful party. And
that's cool.
Kevin Plank, I think his name. Yeah. And anybody was Under Armour. And we were at Texas Tech and at Auburn. Mm-hmm. So he invited Don and I. We had a great time.
That's wonderful.
I was out of my league, believe me. They had a party with, you know, the people up on the circus people.
Oh, wow. A trapeze?
Yeah, artist. You know, I said, what in the heck?
You didn't give that a try?
No. All right. The bathrooms were nicer in my house. I mean, it was unbelievable. They were portables. I never seen a portable bathroom like that.
Wow.
Fun time.
Yeah, oh, no man. Kidding. Sounds like it.
Hot Brown, 1926.
Wow. 100 years.
100 years.
Yeah.
That's wow.
Guys, I got to get.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Get a Hot Brown and report back.
I will.
You know, you got most. I mean, someone would have to make the Mornay, but you got most of that. You got most of that available
in countries.
At the restaurant. I'd
need to tell Larry we're going to run a special on Hot Brown's Derby week.
100-year anniversary of the Hot Brown of countries.
He'd probably tell me just to stay in Louisville.
Well, no, we're going to miss you next week, but right. But yeah, have fun at the Derby. That's
Thank
always
you.
A really
you.
Cool thing.
All right, let's go
tonight. You know, since we're throwing it back to NFL draft coverage in a couple of minutes. I think Kieron maybe today. I know that's there's been some talk about, you know, the next Auburn player to be taken and when
he appears to be the next most likely. I mean, you heard some Bobby Jameis and Travis, but most likely tomorrow. But yeah, maybe Kieron, because Edge guys are very valuable.
Zion Young is one of Mel Kiper's top overall players remaining on the board right now, the Missouri Edge. You've also got R. Mason Thomas and Kieron Crawford right behind him. So three fantastic SEC edges, right? Three guys that played very well for multiple seasons in the SEC available if you want to bolster your pass rush. Wouldn't be shocked if any of those guys went pretty early in the second round. I would think Zion would be the first of those three.
Yeah, I would think so.
Off the board, but R. Mason Thomas was great when he was healthy, and a lot of folks like Kieron Crawford's ceiling, his ability to continue to get better from what you've already seen.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he really, really made strong improvement last year from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So, yes, yeah, so we will see. And again, that coverage is going to start in about 15 minutes right here on ESPN 106.7.
If you're one of those teams picking early in the second round, because you were also picking early in the first round, maybe you needed defense and you decided to go with an offensive player instead. That's where an all SEC defensive end like Zion Young being available right now could be, a positive development for one of those franchises.
Yeah, no kidding. So that'll be coming up following the drive in about 15 minutes. We've got one more segment to go, and so we will get to our final break of the afternoon. Stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back in. It is the final segment of the drive here on this Friday because we've got ESPN coverage of the NFL draft starting at 5. Bill Dan, Coach Don Dunn in here, and we were just talking. I mean, a significant announcement today from the University of Arkansas. They are dropping both their men's and women's tennis programs because of NIL, basically. I mean, now you know, if you want to compete, and Arkansas wants to compete in football and basketball, so they feel like they need to make some cuts to be able to have as much available for those major sports.
That's sad news. They're very sad. I hate it for those kids. I hate it for the university. I can't believe that like we were talking that the Tyson people or the Walmart people couldn't come up with enough money to support the tennis team.
But, yeah, I mean,
but maybe that's a decision was made, I guess, by the
administration and the athletic director.
It was a recommendation from AD Hunter Juracek to administration over his head that was accepted.
How much could it cost?
So the press release says that the primary factor was the level of resources available to allocate to the tennis program. The athletic department says it would be unable to provide the level of financial investment necessary for the tennis programs to consistently compete in the SEC and nationally. The department approximates $2.5 million, an annual budget allocation of $2.5 million on the two tennis programs.
That's what we were, and funny, we were guessing $2 to $3 million.
Yeah. Expenses were about $2.3 million for the tennis program in the 2025 season.
And you would think after hearing that, seeing that, Don, that a benefactor such as the Tysons or the Waltons would say, all right, here's $3 million at least for this year. Let's see what we can do.
Or like we said, the basketball coach.
Now that would.
I'm sure a lot of folks are thinking like, aren't there former Arkansas tennis players who have done well
maybe
in their
pros.
Professional lives who could maybe not to the millionaire level, but that could pool some money. I know that when Clemson went to discontinue some programs, you know, they had to sort of go grassroots and some alumni. I think it was tennis. Clemson was going to get rid of their tennis programs, and some alumni, got together and said, "All right, well, we're gonna provide some money." I just hypothetically threw out there. Again, it's very easy for me to sit in this chair and spend other people's money.
Oh, absolutely.
But like, if you're John Calipari, like, how great would you look if you said, "I've done pretty well these last 30 years.
Here's $3 million.
I'll fund our tennis programs.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Like,
for
a year. I mean, yeah. And maybe." You know, he's got other people with deep pockets that might want to pitch in and do some good.
He could probably make a phone call.
I mean, I understand that programs are going to have to make these, and I've wondered about beyond the sports that you need to have to be an SEC program, which is what, football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball. Does everybody have softball? I know that like almost everybody's got softball. You probably
Does Vandy have softball?
Yeah, I didn't think Vandy does, but like because they bowl. But like
right. that could
and they win. Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary.
But beyond those sports, I do wonder
who's
like,
next?
Yeah, and teams
or what's next?
Is there an SEC standard of how many sports you need to have and how many teams are gonna sort of flirt with the minimum?
I think there is, and I was thinking for some reason it's 19, but I don't know where that
Arkansas
number
is down to 17 now after they
Bill,
it might be 17.
Okay, well maybe it is.
Yeah. Yeah, you remember the days when they canceled wrestling.
I absolutely do.
And
absolutely.
It was devastating.
Yes, it was.
And
it's Auburn wrestling was really good.
Really were.
Yeah, I did play-by-play the last year of Auburn wrestling. Didn't really know what I was talking about.
But
we brought in the coach's brother.
I would
and
love
I'd pretty much it. Say, here's who it is.
Yeah.
The weight class, the wrestlers,
here
who
they
started
go.
Up, and pretty much let him do the call.
I'd be the same way. Even though my son wrestled, now my wife could call it.
It was indoor, outdoor, track, and cross country that Clemson was going to get rid of a couple of years ago,
and some
folks, track. Some alumni stepped in and
Arkansas tried not to get rid of their track program. They're so successful. Yeah, it's scary. Who's next? What's next?
Oh yeah, no question. I mean, and we will see. I mean, the NCAA. We talked about this a couple of days. The NCAA is trying to go ahead and push that five for five with an age limit in there, so that could affect quite a few things. We will see. I think it's going to pass, Don. I don't know about the age thing, but
I think
the 5 for 5 is going to pass.
I hope so. I think that's fair.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
We're going to have to do something.
Well, and everybody who has been granted exceptions to this point, they'd be fine.
Right.
I mean, if this passes in May and it goes effect in June 1st, it would be from that point on. You've got 5 years to play 5.
That's fine. That's good. I hope.
All right, we're just about out of time here on the Friday Drive.
That was our good buddy Spectre. He was unhappy that we're not going to do a second hour, although he is because he wants to chime in on this. But we'll talk to him on Monday.
We will be back on Monday. Brian Matthews will be in with us,
and
we'll recap the baseball weekend, everything else that's gone on over the weekend. Maybe Auburn has another basketball player by Monday.
ESPN Radio does a tremendous job covering the NFL Draft, and I encourage folks to stay tuned for tonight's coverage of the NFL draft, including maybe some SEC players and some Auburn players.
Very likely.
And like you said, baseball on Wings 94.3 as well.
5:45, 6 o'clock, first pitch, Auburn, Oklahoma. Don, have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys.
And have a great trip to Louisville.
Thank you.
Dan, yep, have a great weekend as well.
Absolutely.
We're done with the ESPN coverage of the NFL draft coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We are out of here.